automobile. It might. In this case, it was the cause of death.
Remember this, Bosby?
Hey, of course, Inspector. You knew, didn't you? We just about then closed the file on the Telt killing.
Yes, you told me. It's just as well there's no statute of limitations on murder.
And today, that chain can be seen in its place in the Black Museum.
Of the Criminal Investigation Department of the London Police, we bring you the dramatic stories of the crimes recorded by the objects in Scotland Yard's Gallery of Death, the Black Museum.
You mean, Miss Tomlinson, there are noises in the night, and they frighten you.
Noises, and the voice. My father's voice. He wants me out of the house. Well, why should he want me out when he left it to me? When we were so happy there, together.
Just you and your father?
Mother died when I was very little. I hardly knew her. Now there's only myself.
And the house? Haunted. I see. Does this ghost, by any chance, rattle chains?
Yes. Well, it's a horrible sound.
Apparently the good inspector had his own ideas about this ghost. In fact, after Joan Tomlinson left his office.
Interested, Preston?
In ghosts? Little, sir.
In good-looking heiresses, Sergeant.
Oh, that's a... No, sir. But it might be possible that someone else is... Or in her property.
Perhaps. Well, look into it, Preston. If we don't, the odds are the young lady will be back until we do. Let me have a report in the morning.
The morning was 8 hours away. Sergeant Preston walked up the quiet street in the London suburb where each house stood alone on its own plot of ground. Even in the inadequate light from the street lamps, the sergeant could see something of well-kept lawns and trim hedges. He turned into the concrete driveway, skirted two garages and attendant back gardens, finding his way to a screened back porch where a light showed briefly.
You came, Sergeant.
Thank you for the light.
My torch. I didn't want you to try the wrong house. This way. I thought we'd wait in the upstairs sitting room.
Whatever you think best, miss. It's your ghost.
Yes. Isn't it? The stairs are this way.
The sergeant felt, rather than saw, in the darkness, that it was a large house. Seemed to be several rooms on the ground floor, and upstairs, they passed three closed doors before they entered the sitting room, which apparently extended the full width of the building.
That's the comfortable chair. It was father's.
Thank you, miss.
A drink?
No, thank you. I'll smoke, if I may.
Yes, of course.
When does he come? Midnight?
Any time after I've gone to bed. Usually, around now.
They waited. Nothing. Think he'll come tonight, miss?
Run! Run!
Yes, run. Run, John, run.
it now. Run,
Joan. Out into the black hallway down the front stairs. Run!
I waited about, miss.
Thought he might come back. Heard you scream.
Now, see here, miss. You're going straight to hospital. And I'm going straight to the inspector. I don't like the looks of it. Not a bit.
Well, who would like the looks of it? Sicky, if you didn't believe in ghosts, and of course, Inspector Hall didn't believe in ghosts. Standing beside Joan in her room at the hospital, he was quite explicit.
It's a mighty corporeal ghost, miss.
How do you know, Inspector?
Your twisted ankle. That was no accident. A stair tread was sawn through. I understand ghosts have difficulty with cross-cut saw. Miss Tomlinson, do you have any next of kin? That is, anyone who might benefit if anything happened to you?
Oh, only with some second cousins. I haven't seen them in years.
They live in London?
Oh, I know. There was Larry Talk. He was in Manchester. I had a note after Father died. And Jerry Hennessy, he lives in Norwich. Yes, I think. And yes, of course. Ruth Carstairs. Father spoke of her. She's a school teacher. The oldest. A school in Bristol. But that's impossible, Inspector. None of them.
None of them would want you out of the way.
No, of course not.
I see. Then, how do you account for this, Miss Tomlinson, Sergeant?
Yes, sir. Here it is.
But where did you...
In the cellar of your house, under some umbrella bags, right near the furnace, Miss Tomlinson. The furnace with its tin ducts to the registers in the room above. Many a youngster used these echoing ducts to imitate a ghost, or to overhear what was going on in another room. As I said before, Miss Tomlinson, this is a mighty corporeal ghost. He soars through stairs. He uses hot air ducts to amplify his voice. He carries his own sound. I don't like this any more than Sergeant Preston does, miss. I don't like it at all.
And today, that same chain can be seen in the museum.
Guard on the house 24 hours a day. You've got the names of those people she mentioned?
Simple. Routine. Teletype messages. Advise earliest convenience. And the advice came so conveniently early that Inspector Hull, who sat at his desk with the 3-3 paper before him, remarked to Sergeant Preston.
It's unbelievable, Sergeant.
Coincidence?
Coincidence, my foot. All three dead a few days of each other. All three trials unsolved. Helk, July 6th. Hennessy, July 8th. Carstairs, July 12th.
Sergeant.
Under no circumstances is that girl to be permitted to leave the hospital. That's an order. She's safe there.
How long, Inspector?
Until I get back.
Back, sir?
Don't look blank, Preston. Just look at these telegraph replies. I'm making a cook's tour of these three cities. Manchester, Norwich, and Bristol. Obviously, I need facts. There seem to be quite a few facts in Manchester, Norwich, and Bristol.
England is a very large city, a train of fast. In Manchester.
I understand, Bartby, that the Telk case was in your hands.
Aye, that's correct, sir.
Well, how far yet?
No motive. Nothing. Just this man, Telk, walking home alone on a July night toward 11. A dark street. A carving knife in his back. That's all.
A to Norwich. Another police headquarters, another detective. Anxious to cooperate.
Here it is, Inspector. All we have on the Hennessy case.
Tell me about it, Wilson.
Hit and run, driver. I checked the scene myself. Hennessy was hit on the sidewalk. Looked as if some drunk had driven right up on the walk and crushed the man against the building wall.
And so a pattern emerges. Two men die, quite unexpectedly, but in this case, no clues, no indication that there was purpose or motive, except that a third man died quite naturally in London, and his daughter was the victim of the fight. And all those involved were related to each other. There's a pattern emerges. Continued in Bristol.
All right, Albert. What have you in the car, Bill?
A thought to believe she was retired, quite as usual. I think she took some headache, did I? She was 12. Fortunately for her, I'm on a good string in the bottle.
I know, kind of mess. Nothing.
Anything else? Some prints on the bottle? No. He's put some wear on and she took the bottle out of the missing cabinet. Her landlady said she had a visitor the day before, but she did. Foremost, you all that sort of thing.
Mind if I go with that landlady?
No, not at all. Her name is Ross. Help yourself. Quite a talker, that woman. Got away.
It was a semi-detached villa with a vacancy sign on the door. Mrs. Ross was indeed quite a talker. Inspector Hull let her talk.
At least 15 years. A wonderful woman, Inspector, sir. So many of our students come to see her, even after she retired. The kind of teacher you don't find nowadays.
I know exactly what you mean, ma'am.
And she was so happy that day, what with her cousin being here the day before and all.
Her cousin, Mrs. Ross?
Yes, I remember it clearly. She called. She was going out for a bit of cake for tea, now that her cousin Michael Stroud had come to see her.
A new name. Another cousin. One Michael Stroud. Carefully now, Inspector. Carefully.
You don't happen to know where he was from now, do you, ma'am?
Oh, from London. I have the address. Found an envelope in the waste paper basket while I was clearing out the poor thing's room.
Did you tell this to the police?
No, sir. They were so busy with their bustle and dusting everything for fingerprints, they said.
Yes, 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 of course. Now, Mrs. Ross, may I have that address, please? That is, if you still have it.
Her teletype message travels much faster than a train from Bristol to London. By the time the inspector reached his office, Sergeant Preston was waiting with the answer.
We've been there, sir. Now, Michael Stroud had a flat at the address, but he's moved and left no forwarding address.
Oh, when did he move out?
July 13, sir. The day after the Carstairs woman died.
When the quarry is escaping, what do you do? Well, the least you can do is close some of the gaps in the situation. Try to develop motive and opportunity. The inspector permitted Joan Tomlinson to leave the hospital and to proceed in his company to the office of a solicitor.
Now, sit down, Joan. And to Inspector.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Thank you.
I gather something is amiss.
Mr. Thomas, we have reason to believe that three people have died because of Miss Tomlinson's inheritance, and that her own life is in danger.
Well, that's unbelievable, sir.
It usually is. However, the three who are dead are all, all second cousins of Miss Tomlinson, her next of kin. What we are here to find out is, does the will under which she inherits her property state to whom that property devises in the event of her death?
Not exactly. That is, if she dies intestate, the property under the law would pass to her next of kin, in equal shares, of course.
Mr. Thomas, with all her second cousins dead, a third cousin would be next in line, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, I know of no such relative, sir.
Unfortunately, sir, we do. His name is Michael Stroud. His whereabouts at present are unknown.
Motive, present. Very definitely present. Opportunity, obvious. And seized at least three times in Manchester, Norwich, and Bristol. As to the next move, the inspector outlined a plan. Briefly.
Mr. Tomlinson, do you still believe in ghosts?
No, no.
Would you be afraid to stay much alone?
I see. I'm due to see you again.
Absolutely.
You were? We'll
get... Only began. Joan left the hospital, returned to her house. To the memories. To the now silent ducts. To the still chiming clock. The first night was uneventful. Others followed. Bit by bit, Joan slipped back into her normal everyday routine, a girl in her home with a servant during the day, alone at night. The ghost, the three deaths in three cities, the inspector began to take on aspects of a dream. Reality was coming home after an evening in the city, going upstairs, listening for the little clock. Preparing for sleep, indulging in a little habit of talking to herself.
There's nothing to worry about. Really nothing. He's gone away. Out of the country, maybe. Oh, forget Michael Stroud, Joni. Forget the whole thing. What's that?
How are you, John? Feeling well? And safe?
Get out! Whoever you are!
That won't work, Jenny. You know I'm your cousin, Michael. Come to call.
I never saw you before.
In my life? I know, dear. And now that you have seen me, what else is there to live for?
You couldn't get away with it.
Oh, yes, I could. I can. I will. You'll be a lovely suicide, dear. Carbon monoxide from the register, from the furnace. Or maybe, yes, maybe they'll call it accidental death.
Inspector, I'll find you.
Oh?
He'll know where you are.
I doubt it. He wasn't around to seize me tonight, was he? And I'm very good at hiding. More. They'll never tie me to Cousin Larry or Cousin Jerry or Cousin...
They will. They have. They're a fingerprint.
Ah, there now. That's their worry, not mine. Now sit down. In that chair.
I will.
Sit down. I have it planned perfectly, John. You'll sit down. I'll tie you in that chair, shut the windows, the door, turn on the heat. You'll be gagged, too. I forgot to mention that. You'll die.
No.
I'll come back, put you on the bed.
No! No, it won't! You can't make me!
I said sit down and shut up!
Oh, me.
Take him in charge, Sergeant. What? We have enough. We're still in the bed, Sergeant. Look out! Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Forgetting he's gone away, sir. Nicely handled, Sergeant. You all right, Miss Donaldson?
Yes, I think so. He is a very corporeal ghost. Isn't he, Inspector?
Definitely. And I believe his corporeal fingerprints will match those in the handle of a very corporeal knife in Manchester, a steering wheel in Norwich, a bottle in Bristol, and a certain chain in the possession of Scotland Yard.
The case was clear. The defense was helpless. The case was closed at the traditional time one morning in the usual manner. Michael Stroud at the hands of the Crown became forever